Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your co-host, John Ryan. I'm your co-host.
Oh, he's downgraded. Yeah,
Anthony, you're doing a great job. Anthony is the host.
Let's welcome, everybody.
We have Otto Loos with us. And, of course, Christina Liu is helping out here also. Anthony is the director of education at the SAFE Center, and it really has been tremendous information he's sharing with us, and we're going to continue on with the conversation. Otto?
Well, one of the questions that came up a little bit offline again is the topic of trafficking. What is that actually? I mean, I have to admit that I have my image of what I think it is, but that doesn't...
And what's your image?
My image is probably one who's got some ladies locked up in a room somewhere and using them for prostitution or whatever suits their fancy.
No, that's not too far from it. That happens.
Right.
A lot of people also think of trafficking, human trafficking, as something where people, first of all, they think of it as happening in other countries, and or people from other countries being brought here, and that absolutely happens as well. But really, let's specifically talk about commercial sexual exploitation as part of trafficking. And that is when a person, through force, fraud, or coercion, is being sexually exploited for the financial or other gain of another person. Again, very similar to domestic violence. There's that power and control issue. But what we thought of as prostitution really is trafficking and commercial sexual exploitation, where children and adults are being sexually exploited for the benefit of another individual or group of individuals. So an example would be a couple of years ago in Nassau County, the police did a sting operation, and they called it Flush the Johns campaign, and they arrested over 100 men in Nassau County who had solicited what they thought was a prostitute through ads on something called Backpage, which is like Craigslist. And when they got there, they were surprised. It was a decoy cop, and they were arrested and charged, you know, with solicitation. So those men had to go to a class. Safe Center helped give that class. We put that together in conjunction with the district attorney's office. And basically, we wanted to let them know this is not a victimless crime. That these women who you go to on a regular basis, because this was not their first times, you could tell. These women are exploited. These women are victims. Right here in Nassau County, there are women who have died being prostituted. They have been attacked by the buyers, who we call Johns. They have been attacked and raped and beaten by their pimps. And if people remember the Gilgo Beach murders, those women were trafficking victims. They were prostituted women. And those young women all had hopes and dreams and lives. None of them included, when they were little 11 and 12-year-old girls, being prostituted, trafficked, and then being raped and murdered, and their bodies being tossed like nothing. And people who are being trafficked, they're, you know, 40 times more likely to die of anything. Their lives are very difficult. The Safe Center offers hope for trafficking victims. In Nassau County, we have a special trafficking court to treat these women and men, or trans people, as victims who need help as opposed to criminals. And I think we need to have conversations, and I'm talking to the men here, among ourselves, about why what we've called prostitution in the past is not a victimless crime, about how respecting women does not mean just respecting some women. It means respecting all women. And that this needs to stop. This is a demand-driven business. Trafficking, sexual trafficking of commercial sexual exploitation of children and adults globally is the second biggest criminal enterprise in the world. So, it's demand driven. You know, demand can shut a business down if it drops off. Think about this. When's the last time you saw a Blockbuster Video?
Right.
They're gone.
Well, supply and demand is what makes the economic world go around.
Exactly. And if the demand dries up for trafficking, if men stop engaging in behaviors where they're purchasing sex, if that happens, we're going to see a shift. And we have to, again, treat these women and men as victims, not as criminals.
But going back to that, that's a couple of years ago when that occurred.
Yeah.
The John Ring was under Kathleen.
Yes,
Rice,
the prior
DA
D-
at the time,
district attorney.
Congresswoman. And I agreed with it 100%. But the amount of people that didn't agree with it and basically are not looking at it as a victimless crime. And it's terrible. It's like, oh, so she needed wanted to make an extra $100. She had the right. People don't understand what you're saying,
right.
Which is the truth. I understand this. They're looking at it like two consenting adults, and I want to make an extra few bucks this weekend. And that's how it's perceived, which is...
You should do
that
Uber.
That might be a small, but that's not.
Because that's a good way to get some side money. Just
yeah, exactly.
But
I mean, that's the point.
But
people
probably,
are looking at it from that point of view.
There probably are some situations that are in that category that you described. But what we're hearing here is there's many more.
But this is what people don't understand and realize is out
well, look,
there.
You're right. And John brings up this important point because the pushback was tremendous from the public who said, these are good men. Well, let's unpack that for a minute. What we're talking about was these were mostly white, middle class, and professional men.
Right.
And they shouldn't get arrested because that's really what was going on. Because let me tell you, when somebody holds up a liquor store and if their skin color wasn't the color of the majority of people who got arrested in that John sting, nobody says, why are you putting their picture in the paper? Oh, they're fine with it. So these were men who were not used to being held accountable for their actions. And we saw it in the courts. There was a sitting judge who said, well, we're not going to allow you to the district attorney. We're not going to allow you to talk about trafficking. This isn't trafficking. So we need to educate the courts. We need to educate ourselves. And we have to talk about entitlement because, you know, people are causing pain. When commercial sexual exploitation happens in a community, the ripple effects are tremendous. Some of these women being prostituted are moms with kids, and their kids are being subjected to this life. And, you know, that you talk about the drug trade, gang violence, it's all interconnected. We all live in this community. We can't just say, well, that's okay, that stuff is there. It affects everybody.
Well, you brought up a few points there, and one of them to me is respect for yourself and respect for women and morality. You know, what kind of morals do you have? What do you believe in? And it kind of connects, I think, with... why do you get yourself into that situation in the first place? You know, you think it's okay. Well, it really isn't okay. You know, in my opinion, that's sort of a philosophical digression.
Right,
there's a class issue there too. So why are there women and men and trans youth and all who don't have opportunities? Who end up in situations where they're being exploited? Why don't we live in a society that provides opportunity for everybody? Why don't we live in a society? You know, I was talking about this offline. I said I wanted to mention, well, why does this happen? And I want to bring the lens back, not just why do individuals engage in this behavior, but why does society allow it? And, you know, we humans evolved to be we're animals who evolved to live in groups. We evolved to be collaborative and cooperative and to live in groups. Literally, it's collaboration and cooperation and group living are hardwired into our DNA. It's in our brains that we need and respond to other people. And not all animals are like that. We are. And the social situation that we have set up now in our nation and for the most part globally is one of hyper-individualism, of hyper-competitiveness and disconnection, where profit and money become more important than... You mean, when you ask somebody, are you successful, the first thing they think of is, well, how much money does that person make? Well, we don't think of how many friends do they have, how many people have they helped. So what I'm suggesting is things like elder abuse wouldn't happen in a society based on mutuality, trust, respect, compassion, and love. Because you wouldn't want your neighbor to go without. You wouldn't want your neighbor to be isolated. And we, you know, it's funny. Bernie Sanders talked about a political revolution. We need a social revolution. And that social revolution that we need, I think, is one where we connect more with each other. What we're doing right here on the show, talking to each other and talking to people, that's connection. You go on any subway or in any Starbucks, you see people with their heads down in their devices. And look, got my smartphone right here. Tablets and smartphones, they're great, right? You can do so much with them and it can help connect people who are shut-ins and things like that. but it can't be our only means of connecting to people. We really need to talk to each other, to listen to each other, and to understand that someone's life experience, just because it's not our life experience, is still valid, valuable, and that we need to appreciate it, and that we really need to help each other.
Well, I have a philosophy that they've probably heard already here about, I use the words before your entry level into life. Some people have such an arrogance about who they are and how they got there, and they fail to overlook the fact that they were fortunate. Their entry level was such that, you know, they landed in a good spot. They could have been born in a jungle somewhere in a shack. Nobody ever asks you when you're born where you're going to be. You know, it just sort of happens, all right? There's no checklist that says...
I have a friend who says this. He goes, there's a lot of folks out there who were born on second base thinking they hit a double.
Yeah.
And, you know, if look, I'm a privileged individual. Look, I'm a white... You can't see through the radio, but I'm a white male employed. I grew up middle class from an intact family. And I know this. Not everybody had that.
Right.
And not everybody has it. And I think I've worked hard. I've got friends who were successful in their respective, you know, professions. And we've had conversations about the fact that I wonder if I ever got a job simply because I was a male. I wonder if I got a job simply because I was white. No one ever tells you that. Congratulations. Come on in. Here's the job. You just think, you know, I must be really skilled and talented and do really well. And the point is that privilege is this thing that we don't, you know, we don't realize we have it until it's pointed out. And the challenge and the responsibility, I think, then with privilege is to use it to help people. When we talk about elder abuse, you know, if you're a privileged person, you have, you know, you're cognitively aware, you're healthy. Well, part of that is a responsibility. There are people out there who need you who aren't in that position. So use our privilege to help others. I think that's the message.
Helping others. We only have a minute or two left. Somebody wants to get involved with the SAFE Center, either volunteering or making a donation, etc., because obviously you guys are doing tremendous work.
Right.
How does the website, is there some way?
Yeah, go to our website,
which is
thesafecenterli.org or tscli.org. T for the SAFE Center, tscli.org. You can find out about, first of all, about services. You may be in need of services, or someone you care about may be in need of services, or you may want to volunteer for us. We love our volunteers. We have a great, vibrant volunteer program that we want to expand even more. Or maybe you don't have time to give, but maybe you have a little money to give. That can go a long way in an operation like ours that really every dollar gets put to use to help people, individuals, and families in need. So call our hotline, 516-542-0404, anonymously. Ask any question you like. Could be 2 in the morning on a Wednesday. We'll pick up the phone or go to our website at thesafecenterli.org and find out how you can help or get help.
And if they didn't get that, they can always call 311.
All the information will be there, right? Because this is an organization worthy of support 100%. And Anthony, I want to thank you. This was such an informative session.
See, everyone
really
knows why I took him for a bunch of classes. It all makes sense now.
Christina got all A's.
Now we have to get into this. That's another story. Thank you very much, Anthony. You've been listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.